Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and a company update from Novo Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. Chatting with the president and chairman, Quentin Henny. Now, Quentin, I have received a lot of different varying questions for you regarding Novo over the past few weeks. I've compiled a lot of those. We're going to try to get to as many as we can. But first and foremost, the company has also come out with a lot of news so far just this month. The first news release that I want to focus on, it came out July 8th, that talked about systematic sampling at the Egina mining lease, which yielded positive MAC gold results. Start off here. Give us a little recap of this systematic sampling and what you're seeing at Egina.
Sure thing, Corey. Look, we're very excited about the results we've seen, but I got to talk about the process that we use to get these results before I jump into that. The process we're using is to collect one-ton samples out of a pit. We basically go out, we push aside the sand overburden, which is usually about a foot thick, and then we dig 1 ton of gravel approximately. Okay, think of these as grab samples. They're basically giant soil samples. We put them in a bulk bag in a wooden crate. We ship them back to the Station Peak MAC facility, where we have these small alluvial processing plants. The little things can do a 1 ton sample in about an hour, so they basically feed the material through the machine. It has a little trommel, the dirt goes through, the gold particles and gravel gets washed, and then the gold gets concentrated in a centrifugal concentrator called a Knudsen bowl. Which, Knudsen in this case begins with a K, a silent K. So it's Mobile Alluvial Knudsen, okay, MAC, that's the acronym. Okay, so these MAC samples that we collect generate a small volume of concentrate. The guys take the concentrate, put it under binocular microscope, and do a point count. They take some photographs, they look at the gold particles. We can get some information. We can count how many gold grains are in the sample. We can determine, the size range we see, the roundness of the gold, things like that. So for each one of these samples, we get some pretty good data. What is important about these, and this is really the utilization of these samples, is this gives us a proxy, basically an indicative look at where gold is distributed within the gravels. If people recall last year, we were doing very, very large bulk samples that we put out in news releases over the course of a few months. The bulk samples take time, okay? They're on the order of, say, 50 cubic meters or thereabouts, and they take, a time to put through the IGR plant and so forth. So these MAC samples are basically a very quick way for us to get an indicative look at where gold is distributed. All right, so what's the beauty of these is that we can go out and we can do grids of these samples across large areas and start to get a sense of the gold distribution. And that's what we've done in the edge of the mining lease. We've put several hundred samples out now. We've cast a big net. We're doing several hundred more, by the way, so we're not done yet. But we do have a picture starting to form. That's illustrated in the figures attached to the most recent news release. You can see right away that we have these very large areas where we're seeing gold point counts in the MAC samples that are as good or better than the MAC samples we took from our smaller test area last year. Just for reference, we did put an image in that news release that shows the MAC samples from last year, and we outline where that test area is. So if people want to compare apples to apples, they can look at the image, I believe it's on the left, and you can see the point counts of the MAC samples we collected in the test area. And then you can look to the image on the right and see the MAC samples that we've collected here in 2020 over the past couple of weeks. All right, so we're very, very pleased with what we're seeing. Right now we're seeing something like around a third of the footprint of this mining lease, which is about 5 square kilometers. Looks like it's mineralized, in levels, at least point count-wise, in levels that are commensurate with what we saw in the higher-grade areas of our test area last year. That's great news, okay? What do we need to do to prove this out? Well, we now have to go in and do bulk sampling, which we're going to do. We're going to go in and dig pits, process those bigger samples, you know, say 50 cubic meter type samples, through our IGR plant and get definitive, more definitive grade results from those. Okay, so this is it's basically a tiered approach where we get quick and dirty answers through the max sampling, but it gives us a really good sense of where the gold is distributed. And what's really exciting for us is that the pattern we're seeing across the edge of the mining lease, which is really just a small postage stamp on, you know, think of it like a conference table, okay, in terms of what land we have, we're seeing a very healthy gold distribution across that surface in the gravels. And if that transposes, if we're fortunate enough to see that pattern continue out onto the greater terrace, we're looking at something that's very, very, very promising. People should recall that a few weeks ago, we announced max samples from up at Paradise. Paradise is over 10 kilometers north of the Egina mining lease. Okay, so think about that for a minute. We've already demonstrated up at Paradise that there are these very, very large swales. They're on the order of several hundred meters wide, each one. And they are, again, generating point counts that are as good or better in some cases than the ones we saw in the test area last year. Again, people can compare apples to apples. All they have to do is look at the images, and you can see the point counts from the test area last year, and then look at the other areas that we've recently sampled in our recent news releases, and you can start to get a picture similar to what our team has of how gold appears to be distributed across the surface. Now, are we promising everybody that we're going to have 1+ gram per cubic meter gravel in all of these swales and stuff? We don't know yet. Okay, we have to do the harder work of the big bulk samples now to prove that component of it. Okay, but that is a large component of our exploration program this year. We're going to do both the max sampling and the bulk samples that follow up over the next, about 6 months left in this year. We'll continue that work, you know, on an ongoing basis. I expect for the, you know, basically the foreseeable future. But by the end of this year, we hope to have a picture that investors can look at and say, my gosh, you know, these guys are on to something very big, you know, a big target that's got demonstrable gold scattered over, you know, X, you know, square kilometers or tens of square kilometers, whatever, that might be mineralized, you know, and then there's grade data to support that. You know, the bulk samples will give us the grade data to support that. That's the kind of picture we're trying to build here. It's not just for investors. It's for, you know, a fundamental approach to how to work on this property in a time-efficient manner that gets us answers quickly. It also is going to be what drives subsequent stages of our work at Egina and surrounding areas over the next months and years. For example, let's say we do the bulk samples here on the Egina mining lease. We follow up all these wonderful new areas exposed by max sampling, and we do the bulk samples and we see, you know, some very nice grades in the gravels. Well, then guess what? We have an existing mining lease there. Okay, what that means is that it's something that we can advance fairly quickly towards a small, we'll call it test scale mine, you know, where we mine, say, you know, on the order of hectares or maybe, you know, tens of hectares as a test phase in the mining process. Okay, the agreement we have with Sumitomo, for example, is staged. We do the exploration work, then there's the test, you know, test mining phase of that. But then there's, you know, advancing that towards a commercial stage. So it's really a three-tiered process. What are we doing? We're trying to get that exploration foundation laid. And then on the back of that, we will do, you know, we'll look at the test mining phase. This area at the edge of the mining lease looks very promising. Does that mean that's all that's there? No, there's going to be other areas, you know, obviously that we're going to want to jump out and test. But this is an existing mining lease, which makes it easier for us to fast track. What else does it mean? Well, look, the you know, testing phase is going to be comprised of several components. Things like, you know, continual mining. Okay, we already have a very good sense of how we can mine this. There's machines out there. You know, this is existing technology that we know will likely work for this, you know, this shallow gravel that we're targeting. Okay, what we really need is the processing, test work. So that machine that we're going to deploy over at Karratha, the mechanical sorter, yes, we will take samples from Egina over there later this year. We'll put them through the machine. We'll see if mechanical sorting is a viable means to treat this material. Are we looking at other things? Yes, I've tried to make that very clear. We are looking at all sorts of different options, whatever's going to be cheap, cost-effective, preferably dry, preferably reclaimable. Like, we want to be able to mine, process, and then reclaim the ground so that we're not leaving a moonscape here. You know, those are all aspects we're moving forward simultaneously to move Egina in the right direction.
Okay, a lot to take in there, Quentin, and you did answer a number of questions that came in. And just to summarize, so you have the exploration, let's say, ongoing, even more advanced after, well, just comparing these two samples, these two max sample maps that you had, a lot more samples have been taken. You're really getting an understanding for the possible consistency that you could see across at least just this one Egina mining lease. But then next thing is the testing phase, in a sense. But you did recently announce, too, that you are purchasing a Steinert mechanical sorter. So that stage should get going here in the near term. It seems like over the next, 6 months to the end of the year, then you will be a lot more advanced when it comes to at least having a path forward to test mining. Is that fair to put a timeline on that?
That is correct. That is the goal. So by the end of this year, we want to have a very firm plan in place to go test mining. That includes both the mining component, but also the processing component. We need both aspects of this. The other thing we're doing is that reclamation component. I know that most people think, their eyes roll back in their head and, like boring, 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 but it's actually critical here. We are doing reclamation work on the back of for example, the bulk sampling and trenching that we've done to show that we can reclaim these areas to their original state. We're going to leave a very usable land surface behind after we're done mining here. We want to demonstrate that to the aboriginals, to the locals, to the mines department, everybody that's involved in this process. We think we've got a great deposit here. We're going to move this thing forward on all of those different technical fronts that I just discussed. Is it the only project we have? No. We've got Karratha. We've got Beaton's Creek. As you mentioned, we're going to put the mechanical sorter at Karratha. Why? We want to see if we can sort and upgrade the material at Purdy's Reward and Comet Well. Why did we buy out Purdy's recently? Because we believe in it. Okay? We think we can go mine there akin to, say, a gravel-type operation. You would crush, screen, and then mechanically sort material, produce a very high-grade concentrate. What do you do with it then? Well, if you have a mill, you can process it. That's where our mind is going.
Okay. One other quick comment regarding something you said, comparing what the samples you were seeing at the Paradise Swales compared to the Egina Swales. There was a news release that said that the samples at Paradise were bigger than or had more visible gold than the ones at Egina. Is this still the case with that updated Egina work?
All I would say to answer that is people can look for themselves. They can see. When I say the numbers are bigger, there are samples at Paradise, absolutely, that have more gold particles, gold point counts than we see at Egina, which is very exciting. There was one out there, I believe, was like 300 and something grains of gold, which is astounding. Okay, what does it mean? We don't know yet, but once we bulk sample in that area, we'll have a much better idea. At a first blush, though, when you compare just the point counts, it looks very promising. We're very hopeful that Paradise compares well with the Egina mining lease. The thing to bear in mind, though, it is 10 kilometers away or like 12 kilometers, something like that. So, is the grain size perhaps finer out there? We don't know yet. Right? We have to get out and actually bulk sample and process those and see what kind of gold we get out to really give people the answer at that level.
All right. Now, one other question that dove into the corporate presentation. It says there are slides showing the path forward for Egina, Beaton's Creek, and Karratha, but the path for Karratha includes undertaking an economic study. This step is not included in the path for the other two projects. What about Karratha calls for this formal economic study?
Okay, so we... To convert the exploration licenses at Karratha, we have to underpin that with economic study. We do have the MIN report. That's done. We have to have native title report. Native title agreement. We're working on that. The economic study, why are we doing that? We want to demonstrate this is a mineable deposit, and we want to get that completed so that we can, like I said earlier, hopefully shift Karratha to a production type set project where we're going to crush, screen, mechanically sort, and produce high grade concentrate on site. Okay, it's could be a very important component for us once we become a producing company. Let's put it that way. We've got big plans.
All right. Yeah, I know you guys have massive plans, and that continues to be, I guess, the move forward. Let's talk about Beaton's Creek, though. When will Novo have a bit more of a defined path forward for Beaton's Creek?
Yes, look, late in June, I discussed it. I think I did a conference or something like this, or an interview, I can't recall. But I said within a few weeks. I think some people heard me. I don't know exactly what I said. It was a couple weeks or whatever, but within a few weeks is what I intended to say, and that's still the truth. I would say within a few weeks, we will have a very clear picture of how that's going to move forward. I cannot say much more than that right now.
Okay. Quentin, one other comment, too, just regarding all of these transactions for properties in this general Western Australia area. I'm in front of me, I'm seeing about 4 or 5 different news releases that talk about just more land being acquired. Can you give us a little bit more insights on this overall strategy of just continuing to take in more and more land?
Okay, part of it is a bit of housekeeping, but when I say that, what I'm getting at is with Mark Creasy, for example, we had a joint venture with him in the ground surrounding the Beaton's Creek resource. Okay, we've now bought Mark's interest in that. We bought him out 100%, so we have 100% control of all that exploration upside surrounding the Beaton's Creek project. That's a huge win for us. Not only that, we also acquired, from Mark, a very large holding of ground that he has across the Pilbara. It includes a number of very high-quality gold targets, and we see adding those to our portfolio. Why? Well, we want to grow. We're going to become a producing company. That's our goal. And we want the highest quality assets, these assets that, quite frankly, we are best suited for as Novo, knowing the processes that are involved with these conglomerate gold deposits. Right. So we're the ones to advance these. We'll unlock the value, and we're in a great position. Now, we've acquired some other projects. Mount Elsie, for example, we completed that transaction this morning. Mount Elsie is very close to the Nullagine gold camp. Why? Well, once we get Beaton's into production, we see that as a potential add-on. Yes, it's an exploration play, but we do see, some very nice targets sticking out of the ground, and we will aggressively pursue those as we move towards that production phase. We've acquired the ground down around the Bellary Dome here recently, too. That was a very pleasant deal for us because, while there were other companies that had worked on that ground, they kind of banged their head against the wall, not quite coming to grips with, how you tackle these things. Guess what? We're the company to do it. We see huge potential around the Bellary Dome. I've seen conglomerate samples, like hand samples of conglomerate with multiple nuggets in the matrix. All people have to do is go look at news releases from the past 2 or 3 years. Of companies who've operated in that area, and they've found similar gold, okay? What does that tell me? It tells me we've got another gold conglomerate occurrence that's much like with what we're already used to working on up in, say, Beaton's Creek or Karratha, and it's ideally suited for Novo. We're going to unlock some value there.
So, Quentin, final comment. Back to this mechanical sorter, the Steinert machine. What are you going to be using this for? Not just in terms of, you know, processing some of the samples at some of the projects, but is it also going to be used to just see how efficient it is in those conditions in Western Australia? How about any other, say, rain that could come in? Or quite frankly, to maybe even further isolate where you go test mining first? What's the overall strategy of bringing that to the site?
Okay, all of the above. Look, this machine, this initial machine, allows us to test material from a lot of our different projects. There are projects that we haven't even really talked about all that much. Examples would be things like Virgin Creek and Contact Creek, which are over by Marble Bar, very early stage, but geologically very similar to our other projects. We know from the detectorists that go out there occasionally, there's coarse gold popping out of those conglomerates. What can we do? We can now bulk sample. We can crush, screen, process the material through the mechanical sorter. Guess what? We have answers. We now know, you know, what kind of gold comes out of it. We know whether we can, you know, potentially mine it and upgrade it, you know, like in a commercial sense, things like this. Now, that's one level of work we're doing. The second one is this. We're going to see if this, you know, has direct commercial applications. For example, at Karratha, you know, Purdy's Reward and Comet Well, we're going to see. We're going to mine, as we said in the news release, we're going to mine, you know, samples of a few tens of thousands of tons, crush, screen, put them through there. Why? Because we want to know if we can make that an operating project. Once again, that's going to be, in our vision, a producing asset. Beaton's Creek, look, Beaton's is also amenable to mechanical sorting. We demonstrated that earlier this year with some of our news releases. We see significant upgrades in the conglomerate product or the concentrate product. Does it mean we have to sort Beaton's Creek? No, there's you know, it's a pretty good grade deposit on its own. And, you know, I think our upcoming solution here will be adequate to treat that material. But where does it come into play? Well, there's a lot of lower grade stuff at Beaton's Creek that could potentially benefit from mechanical sorting that we could actually scalp material and you know, that would otherwise be deemed as waste and actually get value out of it. Okay, so this is a huge win. Okay, as far as weather goes and dry and, you know, this and that, yes, all of these things are going to be aspects we test. You know, mechanical sorting optimally operates under a dry condition. The Pilbara is a very dry place. It's a very hot place. The rainfall is on the order of maybe 10 to 12 inches a year. Most of that comes in one or two, you know, say, cyclone events, you know, that usually happen between December and March. You know, those rain events, yes, they can cause problems. They can be local flooding and stuff for a few days. Otherwise, the place is a fantastic place to operate. We don't see any issues. In fact, we think mechanical sorting is ideally suited for gold in the Pilbara because it is so dry.
All right. Hey, Quentin, thanks for addressing all those questions. Everybody, keep the questions coming. I will keep compiling them, trying to get as many as I can answered in a timely fashion. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Novo Resources. We'll continue to follow up as news hits the market, but also follow up with all of your questions. Thanks for your time, Quentin. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Corey.